my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College.
Oh, hello. I'm George Dunn, and I'm ready to do a podcast about people and things. It's tough.
That was a great introduction. Can you. I just say that was
who are you?
Immaculate. I need no introduction. But
you're a butt?
I'm not giving myself an introduction because I don't need one.
Okay.
I'm Devin Newsom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know who you are. You're like an okay failed comedian, right?
Yes, and I also recently was promoted at my podcast job.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. One more cent a week.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're really bringing home the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
We need a new intro. Like a new, not the intro song.
You think?
What if I just started every episode with 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies? Just in the context of being like, yeah, it was 1 week since you listened to it last.
That's not bad.
I think I might do it.
I kind of like the first one you went with, like off the cuff, off the top of the dome, right at the top. The episode
today,
yeah, just now.
That was the same.
I'm George Dunn, and I'm ready to do a podcast and things or whatever.
I think we should. Okay, so I want to do this thing. So it's our first episode of our first year, our second year. So I want to do. I think after a year, I should probably be better at this.
We're a lot better, sort of.
I know how to work this board now. it took me 6 months, but...
I mean, I think we've arrived. I think we've done 50 episodes. This is 51. We're now over the episode hill of podcasting.
The hump.
Yeah, over the hump. We're older than dirt. That's true. In the podcast
dirt is pretty
game.
Old.
I feel like most podcasts last like 3 months or something, and then you never hear
from them again. In Cleveland, yeah.
I bet that's an accurate...
Probably
representation. I don't know.
I just want to be the McElroy brothers at this point and somehow just make a TV show basically doing nothing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of obsessed with them right now, but, so I want to do this thing. I'm just going to kind of like go off the cuff and, I'm going to do like maybe three, maybe four, like intro word things that I'm going to say.
Intro ideas.
Yeah. And this will be like, sorry, I burped.
It's okay.
This will be the whatever. We'll put a poll on Twitter, and whatever wins will be exactly what I say for the rest of the year.
The rest of the year, the entire year.
Yeah. Okay. Why not? So, I don't have anything planned. So,
well, you have two already.
Do I? I don't remember what I
you
said.
I'm George Dunn, and I'm ready to do podcast things.
And it's me, the dog, is the other one that's in my head right now.
It's me, the dog. That's number three. The second one was...
I can't wait for all five people to vote on this on Twitter.
It's been 1 week since we did this last. Although you could put that on as an end tag.
I'm going to do this.
You're going to do four off the top of the dome right now?
Yeah. Well, we'll do some. I don't know if I'll do four, but... Okay. We'll do this real quick.
All right. I'm ready. Like my country, I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably should. Hey, welcome back to the Second Shot podcast. I'm the man with the plan, the George Dunn man. What's going on? I'm George Dunn, and you're Devin Newsom, and we're doing things, talking about stuff. Okay, so that's one.
Is it still going?
It's still going right now until
I like that you
right now.
Okay.
So that's going to be number one.
Okay. I don't know how I felt about the voice. I don't know
if the voice can change.
Is the
every
voice
month.
Included in the,
depends
okay,
on how
not,
depressed
okay.
I am that month. I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm going to get a scholarship to King's College. I probably should. Suitcases. I'm George Dunn.
What? You literally just said suitcases.
Yeah, you don't know.
And then you said, I'm George Dunn.
Yeah.
That's
number two.
Okay. I don't think that one's going to win.
It's the internet. You don't know anymore. All right, here's number three. Gee golly gosh, I'm here with my friend Devin Newsom, and I'm George Dunn, and we're going to talk about shotting. You know, shotting, it's a fun thing.
This one's a monologue.
So that's one.
What if you have to
Gee
tell
golly gosh, I'm George Dunn with my friend Devin Newsom. You're Devin Newsom, I'm George Dunn. I don't even remember what I said.
What if at the beginning of every episode you gave a 5-minute monologue?
Just like a one-man show.
Yeah.
Okay, three enough, and then four will be like, I don't know, just wing it, like you've been doing.
I
you fucking
put
dummy.
Put in a write-in candidate.
Yeah, put a write-in. Okay, sure. I don't know if you can do that with Twitter, but we'll figure it out. So,
do it on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't. Yep. You can do that.
Okay,
I'll do that.
I'll do it.
Or
both.
Whoa.
What?
Collect the polls.
Wow. There's so many opportunities in this world.
There is.
There are.
So this is a podcast where we talk about things that aren't about ourselves.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. We had to be self-indulgent a little bit. We did 50 episodes.
That's true.
And we're back for more.
Nifty, nifty. Look who's 50. Not us. We're only one.
We're one. We're 1 year old. Olds. But I don't know. Like, I'm just ready to embark on another year. Like, I felt like that was a really good year. If you listen to the beginning and the end,
it was a good year.
It was a good difference.
It's a good year blimp.
It was a good improvement.
Vast improvement. So we are joined today by our friend.
Great transition.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was genuine. I know it's hard to tell. It's hard to hear genuine. Over,
it's 2018. You don't hear genuine like praise for somebody else. Like, people aren't honest about their love for other people. So I appreciate that, Devin.
Hence, people aren't honest about their love for other people. Hence, the fact that we just totally diverted from that introduction of our guest, our first guest of the year. We're gracious hosts.
I just like that you appreciated me. That's all.
You're welcome.
So we are
off to a great start.
We are off to a great start. We are joined by our friend, this is going to be great, Sarah Falto, which is definitely
wrong.
Not her name. You're not in, wait.
I think we
are you telling
be,
me,
are we cursed?
Are you telling me you're not Star Fox 64?
I am not, no.
Falto, is that his name?
Falco.
Also not the name.
Falto's that wolf from Alaska in the dog race.
Oh, voiced by Kevin Bacon. Yes. I know who Kevin Bacon is.
It's Kevin Falton.
Oh, because he puts the broken. Why do I remember scenes from Balto, but I don't remember a name you just told me 5 minutes ago?
Because then we went into like the origins of the name, and so it got
That's
lost
true.
In translation.
Yeah, once my brother started talking, I stopped listening.
Yeah, and then it got into like pizza pasta.
Pizza pasta.
That's my last name.
Sarah Pizza Pasta.
Sarah Pizza Pasta. So we're joined by Sarah Pizza Pasta.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Also, for the record, I vote suitcases.
Suitcases?
Yeah.
Suitcases. One vote in.
I kind of vote for that one, too.
Yeah, that's
but,
fine.
You know, I want to be an impartial jury in this, so.
Don't
in the sense of the internet is the impartial jury.
Well, what's going to happen if you've got, like, a dead heat?
I can be like Scott Aukerman and just decide.
If yes. we've got a dead heat, I know a pretty good way we can get some Twitter bots into that poll to influence the voting. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Don't forget my vote.
I think we can. well, don't forget to vote.
Don't forget to vote.
This is the more important
vote
election this year. Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, P. Diddy or Puff Daddy, whatever you're going by this year.
I think it was P. Diddy at that point.
Yeah.
Or Puff.
I remember being very, like, I remember when that vote or die thing came out, and I was like, I don't know, 16, 17. I thought it was real cool. I'm like, that seems pretty fascist. I don't know, man. Like, you guys ever heard of Dead Kennedys? Like, that Joe Biafra has something to say. Like, yeah, he sounds goofy, but, like, he's saying something. So, I don't know. I think, like, vote or die is just kind of like, I'm not going to vote. I'd rather die. Fucking tell
you. You were mostly a nihilist.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm 16.
I was listening to Jello Biafra's spoken word albums, so yeah, it was pretty much a nihilist.
Yes, absolutely.
Why wasn't Vote or Die an AFI song?
It probably was, and it got scrapped on the floor.
Because they never did any political stuff. They did. They like they submitted their songs for like Rock Against Bush and stuff like that, but they never like their lyrics were never like political. Sorry to get real serious. Well,
missed
here
opportunity.
For a
I'm that just
saying.
That was
more like Thursday. Thursday. Okay.
Yeah, Thursday did that. Thursday yes. did the fuck out of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
To the point where they just got bad for a while.
Oh, okay.
Friends in the Armed Forces is not a good song.
It is not, but that is one of many.
I mean, that album is very bad. Their last album is one of my favorites.
Yes. It was incredible, but that also may have had something to do with him being sober.
I get it. Like, I mean, I love Thursday, so I'm all about it. I mean, but hey, welcome to Thursday Cast. comes out every Thursday.
Oh, shit, it does.
Wow, that was a really good intro.
We should start a Thursday Cast. See if Jeff Rickley would come on. He won't.
He might.
He won't.
No.
I almost messaged one of the McElroy brothers the other day because he lives in Cincinnati.
I feel like the intro should be you saying, "This is George Dunn. It's Thursday, January 31st. Or whatever,
I'm George Dunn.
Or February 1st, so it will be.
It's like Michael Barbaro on the Daily 8th. Podcast in the New York Times. Like, I'm George Dunn. It's Thursday, January 17th.
Yes.
And this is Second Shot.
Or like Captain Kirk or something.
Like Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do Captain Kirk.
Yeah, do that. Try it.
I'm George Dunn. It's Thursday, January 17th. This is Second Shot.
That wasn't bad.
Thank you. I played it straight.
We'll work on it.
I could have gone for a joke, but you know, I played it straight.
So
suitcases.
So Sarah, this is our first time meeting, and I have to ask, what is your real name? Which we never got around to.
That is true. Because you guys have so much love for the intro and for each other. It's fine.
It's okay.
Nobody needs to know my real name. It's Pizza Pasta.
Yeah, it's Pizza Pasta.
Okay. I'm down with that. We've had Tracy McFace.
We've had Tracy McFace, I was going to say. because I didn't even bother to ask her real name.
We've had Jordan Patrick.
That's true.
El Jordano Diablo.
I honestly genuinely forgot that it wasn't his real name.
We shouldn't tell people that.
I was convinced it was. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Sorry, internet. Cut that out. Cut that out. Cut out.
We didn't say his real name.
It's Patrista.
Interesting.
Like the wrestler.
Jordan Patrista.
Jordan Patrista. So we're going to be talking about...
we're just totally glossing over. Yep. Sarah's identity will remain hidden.
I think my intro should be transition. My name is George Dunn. So we're going to be talking about Salvador Dali. Oh my God, why do people listen to this? I know we don't have very many, but like the fact that anybody does.
They won't after this.
No, I know.
Yeah, it's all over.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sarah.
Anytime. Pizza Balto. Pasta in the house.
Kevin Bacon women here.
I like bacon on Falto. Pizza and in pasta.
Yeah. Also, how do you feel about pineapple?
No.
On pizza? Yes.
Yeah. On anything?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
It's good.
It's a garbage fruit. It's like mango.
Oh.
Not mango.
Wait, you're
no,
dissing
sorry.
It overall?
Honeydew.
Yeah, you're he doesn't like it at all.
You're dissing pineapple overall, not even just on pizza?
It's not very good.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
human.
I'm serious.
Have you had a ripe pineapple?
I've probably had pineapple before.
You've had probably shitty, unripened pineapple.
Right, because you compared it to honeydew, which is basically
I'm not comparing it to honeydew. I'm saying it's garbage like honeydew.
Yeah, but honeydew is garbage overall because it basically is never ripe. Pineapple.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Like that brown rind is mm-hmm. so good.
The brown what?
Right.
The brown rind.
Okay.
And
racist,
dude, those green leaves are fucking dude. Have you ever had those green leaves on a pineapple? They're so good.
Green leaves,
yeah,
those sharp things that stab you,
they're
that try to make sure you do not eat it.
They're so fucking good, dude.
Also, do you want to know a fun fact on how to
are we
tell?
Doing the podcast on pineapple now?
I mean, we're digressing, it's
yeah,
fine,
it's all right.
But the way to tell if a pineapple is ripe is if you go to pick one of those green leaves and it easily comes off,
mm-hmm. and it's ripe, then
that means it's ripe.
Mm-hmm. You should also ripen a pineapple on its side.
Yes.
This has been the Pineapple Cast. This has been the Pineapple Cast inside of the Thursday Cast.
Inside of the Wednesday cast.
Inside of the Wednesday cast.
Inside of the second suitcase.
The suitcase of casts. I'm going to start like a my own podcast network and just call it Suitcase.
Suitcast.
Suitcast. Suitcast. Suke.
Suke.
Or that? True Blood.
Yeah, this is...
Suke.
Suke.
What a great show. So terrible.
The show, yeah, it's great.
So good.
Remember when she turned into a fairy and you're just like, what?
Yeah, like why did that happen?
And there were like werewolves. Joe Manganiello's great. He's a hunk.
Yes.
But
well, they're all hunks.
Joe Manganiello?
It's a Manganiello. Thank you very much.
It's not Manganiello.
Manganiello.
You're really good at last names, so I believe you.
I like that I turned to you for validation, and then you just like shit on
right,
me.
Right, Sarah?
You're welcome.
Okay, well, let's take a break. Like forever.
We need a break.
But then let's come back and we'll talk about some Salvador Dali, because I would say I have a lot to say, but I don't know if I do. But I'm sure you do.
I do, and you might in response.
That's true.
Who knows?
It might just be Suitcase.
That's
but
fine.
We'll find out.
You ready, Dev?
Transition.
Dali. Dali, Salvador Dali, Dali, Salvador Dali, todo el mundo, Dali, Salvador Dali, Dali, Salvador Dali, Dali, Salvador Dali, todo el mundo, Dali, Salvador Dali, Dali, Salvador Dali.
Namaste.
I was just about to say that.
I'm George Dunn. Cat farts. And namaste. Welcome back to the Second Shot Podcast. We were talking about Salvador Dali on NPR's Whisper Hour. So, Devin, I wanted to know, how do you feel about art?
I think...
Please be quiet. You don't need to yell.
I think that my...
It's a little better.
I think that
my... Seems unnatural, but it's fine.
It's very unnatural. It's so unnatural. My feelings on art are that I think that my feelings of art are correct. And that's what really touches me deep.
Thank you. It made no sense, but welcome to NPR. Now we have Sarah Falto, or Pizza Pasta, whatever her name is.
It's Pizza Pasta.
Pizza Pasta, yes. I think I might start doing ASMR.
Please don't.
Thank you for your constructive criticism. I appreciate it.
I will leave.
Please, Miss Pizza Pasta. All right, I can't do anymore.
This is such like an NPR work of art. I can't.
So, okay, let's like, so you came in. Oh, I'm sure that's really jarring for people who turn this around.
Turned it up.
Who could not understand what we were saying while driving.
We just blew out their speakers.
So, Sarah, you came on because you hate Salvador Dali.
Yes.
Which is always an angle that, like, the hating part is from our brother's show, our family show, if you will, yeah. The hate flow through you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I'm always interested to talk about it because I do, you know, like, I came into Salvador Dali like most people in high school. He was kind of like the Tim Burton of painters, I yes. guess. So I was fascinated with him in the same way I was fascinated with Tim Burton. But why do you hate Salvador Dali?
So I'll preface it by saying that I think that everybody goes through that, where it's like he's the introductory artist. Everybody's like, every art student who goes to art school is like, Salvador Dali is my favorite artist of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start learning about Dali. And like, I mean, admittedly so, I am an art historian.
Okay.
So great. That, I mean, from that standpoint, I think I'm a little jaded because of the analytical side. Okay. And also
that, and she's a millennial.
Well, I know, right? Two strikes already.
She went to the second Woodstock.
Do you think Dali was the first millennial?
I mean, we could go there.
Salvador Millennial.
There's something to be made there.
We could make that argument. Absolutely.
Clocks are just time that are being wasted, man.
They're just a construct. Time is just a construct. No, but I think that like there is something to be said about the fact that his technique is incredible. And that, I mean, his approach and his studies, he was spot on. Like, if you look at some of his still lifes and things like that, like, he was an incredible artist.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a fucking thief.
Also,
so, oh, like, shit, he is?
Yeah. So he, like, he basically, instead of just getting influence from other artists, he outright stole their styles. Like, Miro and Tanguy, who were, like, staples in the Surrealist movement, they started biomorphic forms. Like, and that was the whole thing for Surrealism, was, like, this whole idea of, like, taking forms that are abstract, but they hearken to things that you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so, like...
So, like, the clocks or right. something like
well,
that.
Well, like, even, like, biomorphic forms in the sense of, like, it looks like a blob, but it might...
Oh, okay.
It might mimic, like, a body.
It's supposed to invoke some sort of idea, at least in, like, you can look at it. Okay, I get what you're saying.
So it's almost
okay.
like the other, because it's that whole idea of, like, the familiar versus the unfamiliar, so it makes you feel super uncomfortable mm-hmm. because you can't quite yeah. put your finger on why you are familiar with it.
Right.
So that was, like, the whole basis for a lot of Surrealist approaches. Like, that was the basis for, like, creating dreamscapes. And Tanguy and Miro were, like, the masters of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dali suddenly, like, is doing the exact same thing. And then also saying that these guys were the ones that copied him and that he created this. And he did that throughout his entire career. He stole ideas from other artists and then would say that he was the founder of this. I mean, he outright said, "I am Surrealism," when they kicked him out of the Surrealist group. So, like,
I am the law.
Right. Like, he literally is, he was a psychopath.
I am the Senate.
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
I went Judge Dredd, you went Star Wars, it's fine.
Hey, cool. I mean, at least cool we're nerds. Getting the whole spectrum. Yeah. I'm super impressed.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
How long before Dali did it, did they do it?
So they did it at least 4 years prior. Okay. He wasn't even admitted into the Surrealist movement for the first handful of years.
Because they just didn't get him.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So he is totally the Tim Burton of
well, that's the thing is like some, like I was, I mean, Tim Burton just stole from German Expressionism. Like, I mean, like he did nothing that like fucking Dr. Caligari, whatever the Cabernet of Dr. Caligari. Like, that's literally all he does.
Right.
For, you know, 30 movies.
Like, well, and it can be said, too, I mean, that whole idea of, like, there is no new art, and that's why there's postmodern art, because, yeah. like, you're just regurgitating everything that you're seeing from previous movements. But there's, like, a difference between, like, imitation and outright, like, just copycatting, you're plagiarizing, like, yeah, I mean, versus imitation. I mean, they say what, imitation's the biggest form of flattery,
or you know, all great artists steal and yeah. all
right, you know, absolutely, like, but he took it to another level.
It's like almost like this, because Surrealism is so different and strays from like everything else, like the fact that he did it right then makes it more like noticeable, I feel like.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, and that was the whole thing too, is like Surrealism is all about like, basically, a lot of it was based in dreams. And so when you're outright stealing other people's dreams and calling it your own, that's like, I mean, it's pretty obvious that you're stealing yeah. somebody else's work. I think too, I mean, aside from Dali, I always have like reservations about Surrealism, just generally speaking, because there's a big kind of boys club mentality. And it was all about like castration anxiety and like wanting to kill women in mm-hmm. their dreams. And it was like, oh, but it's just a dream. But they were dealing a lot with like Freud, and that was Dali's like just like dream person to ever meet, which he did later on. And Freud, after their meeting, said like, he's a fanatic. And
well, I mean, if there's like, when you talk to someone about like art or anything and they bring up Freud, you're like, okay, so I'm going to stop listening to you now. Like, right. So like you've read one book in your life.
Right.
You're interesting enough, you know, like you'll probably get nominated for an Oscar, but you won't win.
Right. That's exactly it. Yes. So he took all of these tropes and all of these techniques and basically like made an amalgamation of them. And that's his art in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. Is that like, I mean, people will say they'll fight for this idea that he created his own approach, which he did later on. Like he totally found kind of his own niche and like came into his own, but he was still stealing that entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he started moving into other mediums, so he started in on, so that there was a surrealist movie called Un Chien Andalou, and his co-director, Louis Buñuel, don't quote me on that.
I'm going to quote you on
that. Yeah, do that.
Louis Buñuel.
Yeah, good job remembering that one, George.
I can spell it. I can't say it.
Louis pizza pasta.
Pizza pasta.
Just a piece of pasta, not pizza pasta.
It's a piece of pasta. Who wants just a piece of pasta?
Rigatoni.
No, but you would only have a piece of the rigatoni. That's not cool.
Is there sauce?
Is there sauce? There's always sauce.
Now, when we talk about a piece of rigatoni, are we talking about one morsel or one entire piece of a dish? One piece.
If
you're looking at a piece of pasta, I mean, you could look at lasagna as one piece of pasta.
Well, you could do a pasta bake, yeah.
Like a lasagna. Or ziti. Ooh, I love some baked ziti. Let's go to the Olive Garden, guys.
Are we going
to
do the podcast?
I am not feeling good about myself. Yes. Let's go to the Olive Garden.
I mean, you have mozzarella sticks yesterday, though.
Yeah, I could just reheat those. Yeah.
Do they have pineapples there?
I hope so. I'm going to put them all over George's pasta. Just a piece of pasta.
Just a piece of pasta. Yeah. If you put fucking pineapple on my big ziti, I'm going to be so mad.
As long as you save the
leaves. There are five cheeses and one pineapple.
Just save me the leaves and rinds, and I'll be okay.
Okay.
Done.
You can have it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
But while you're in the bathroom, we're just mixing all sorts of pineapple in your piece of pasta.
Yeah. It's going down.
You're welcome.
If you make it like applesauce, I'll be fine. I'll be like I don't know, like an old person trying to take their pills or something.
Is there such thing as pineapple sauce?
I'm sure.
I just thought about it.
Well,
if you just puree
like pineapple, like marmalade and things like that.
Okay. So. Yeah, marmalade's not really a sauce. Marmalade is jelly, but I've seen both Paddington movies. Thank you very much. So they're both great, by the way.
Familiarized with sauces because of Paddington?
They show you how to make orange marmalade very poorly in the second one. In the sense of he adds, like, I think something like 2 pounds of sugar. But
well, that sounds like a marmalade, though.
It's great.
Just 2
please
pounds
go see
of sugar helps
two.
The
go, please go see
go
Marmalade
down,
2.
The medicine
not Marmalade 1, just Marmalade 2.
No, Paddington 1 is great. It's on Netflix. Please watch it. Paddington 2 is amazing. Though.
Mary Poppinson's.
Lady Marmalade?
What?
What?
Me go. Oh, that's my favorite song about threesomes.
Christina.
Is it?
Lady Marmalade? me, you,
Lil Kim.
Me, you, and Paddington. Let's make this work.
Maya.
Oh, man. I just think of Tracy Morgan on Mad TV when he played Missy Elliott in the parody version. Like,
so good.
So funny. That's a great song, though.
It really is.
It's a good song.
Great
movie.
It's a great song.
But anyway, Dali.
Yeah, Dali. So your thoughts?
Dali.
Well, I feel like Salvador Dali is kind of... So I was really into him in high school. Like I went to... Right out of high school, maybe like a year or two after high school, I went to New York and I went to the art museum and they had a Dali exhibit. And I was like... That was like the reason I went. I mean, not to New York, but to the art museum. And... I was like, hell yeah, cool, awesome. So I took all my pictures with my fancy, you know, phone and everything like that. So it looked like garbage.
So it was a Razor phone.
Yeah, probably. and, you know, it's like, so I think like the one that always sticks out in my mind of his work is not the clocks, yeah, sure, whatever. But it's the 3D crucifixion.
Yes.
because there was a huge version of it. I don't know if it was, I'm assuming it's the original version, that was hanging there. And it just like, it just stuck in my mind for forever. And I loved it. I didn't know why I loved it, but I did. And I feel like that's kind of a lot of Dali is like, I don't know why I like this, but I do. I mean, I guess it's surrealist art in general. But I'm also not saying I'm not an art guy is a weird thing to say because like, I like variants of art, but I don't like paintings. I don't know how to appreciate them properly.
Sure.
In the same way, like I can appreciate music or film, like Vin Diesel films.
Yeah,
we did it. I got him in there.
I can see that though. I mean, I think that mine is like on the flip side is that like I can analyze art in the way that you analyze films and music, you know, like that you have the wherewithal and the knowledge to pick apart movies.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's what I do with art.
Yeah.
And so like having that side of things, it's not necessarily the technicalities that he's missing. I think it's just like the heart and knowing the background of a lot of the paintings and that like he didn't really give a shit. It was all about like this showmanship.
When I think about that,
he's a crazy guy.
Yeah.
When I think about that 3D crucifixion, I'm just like, it feels high school-y. It feels like I don't give a shit. I just want to like shock people.
Right.
I just want to do this thing of, you know, like, hey, here's this thing. Fuck you.
Right.
And I mean, there's something to be said about it. I mean, that's punk rock music. Like 90% of punk rock music is just that like fuck you, dad kind of music. Like.
Sure, but there's a lot of politics that are like a lot of punk is rooted in, or the whole
sometimes.
Like, or the whole like, I don't know,
cream
dismantling
to the top in that sense. But like, I mean, there's also a lot of homophobia and
yes.
and stuff in punk rock music too. So I mean, like, I mean, there's an id to punk rock music that maybe Salvador Dali maybe pretends to have. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not as well versed in his stuff as obviously you, but I mean, I was also at the time into Andy Warhol.
Sure.
And I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, okay, so fuck Andy Warhol. Like, he was boring as shit. I like the Velvet Underground and Nico, but I don't like them because of him.
Right.
I only like them because of him because he produced them, well, or at least that first album.
And the funniest part, too, is that, I mean, and basically, unironically, that Dali was a huge influence for pop art. And,
yeah, no, for
and was
sure.
Like huge influence on Warhol too. So like
you see that
you can see it across the board. And I mean, there is something to be said about the way that Warhol approached things because he was like totally into this idea of like conceptual art and the fact that like he wasn't going to produce his work, that he was going to have like this idea and then give it out to somebody else to do as an assembly line. There's something to be said about that. And I think there's something to be said about Dali as well as like that he capitalized on a movement that he made work for himself. So he was working like out of the Dada movement, which was like totally that idea of the absurd or the idea of nothingness, this meaningless kind of movement. And so he was like a lot of his approach to things. And I think his persona is rooted in that. And I think though it's sad because it gets so commercialized toward the end. Like he's doing commercials for like Lanvin chocolate and like doing this like over the top bullshit.
He was doing ads
and, like,
at the end of his
he
life?
Was doing ads and like he totally sold out. And when he died, the people who were surrounding him at the end of his life were people who were literally leeching off of his money. He didn't have any family or friends left. He had stolen his friend's wife who was his muse for like 20 plus years. Like I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But he totally isolated himself. He didn't have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, it was just people who wanted his estate and wanted his money. And I think there's something to be said for like, you were so arrogant in your abilities as an artist that you no longer had any support or like a collective like he did with the Surrealist movement. So,
yeah. Like he was, it's kind of like almost fitting that that is the way he ended his life, because what I know about him is that he was like a very lonely person.
I didn't know he died so young.
He had a lonely
so
childhood. And like, so to me, like kind of makes sense that, like, yeah, if he, I mean, granted, if he stole all the shit and got famous off it.
Carlos Mencila. Remember that?
Salvador.
Stila.
Yeah.
Salvador Sally. Carlos Mencila.
Yes. Stilvador.
Hey.
There it is.
We got it.
But, like, the when his art, like, caught on and he started getting all this fame and calling himself a genius, and he was influenced by all these other great geniuses, and he was really into physics and stuff, and like when all that craziness and that kind of like severe focus and intellect went together and led to fame, it would make sense he'd want to be like a crazy famous guy that gets all these friends. And then, like, to me, like, I watched this interview with him on what was I watching it on? It was like the Mike Wallace interview or something from like a long time ago on YouTube or whatever. But like, it was funny. Like, there was this commercials for cigarettes
totally
and
absurd.
Shit. Yeah. Like,
I
yeah.
love that shit, by the way. That's totally it's my aesthetic in all caps, each letter spaced in between.
Like. I enjoy it. Like, look up the video. Like, it's awesome. Like, it's the ads are so long for him, and he just like does them in the middle of this like video talk show.
I love it.
But, like next. He was talking about like smoke. His one of his greatest abilities is that he felt was that he could remember his thoughts and feelings before he was born, like in the womb and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like his but he still had a fear of death, like transitioning from that was his paradise in the womb, like his happiness was basically lost when he was born, he said. Mm-hmm. Then, like, his hope for being that when he died, he would go back to his paradise. And, like, so, like, it's almost like this just very, and he talked about antimatter. So it's like, it's almost like this very just, symmetrical, physical, just when energy is created, the same amount of energy is destroyed. Mm-hmm. Type deal where like his life rises and then declines into nothingness and aloneness again.
Yeah. I mean, and he even says that like so much more. He attempted suicide like multiple times after Gala died, his wife and muse. She declined in health like very quickly. And at that point they were pretty estranged. Like she was living in this huge mansion and he had to ask for like in written permission for her like her, him to come visit her at the mansion at that point. So I think that they still had a lot of love for one another, but she was pretty estranged from him because of the person that he had become. Mm-hmm. And that he was no longer the Dali that she knew. And so as soon as she died, he ended up back at that mansion, like declined in health hugely. Like he had heart failure. He tried to kill himself multiple times. He tried to set his, like his room on fire and like,
well, it seems like a lot of that, like a lot of, quote unquote artists, like regardless of their medium, like they kind of become engulfed in the character they become.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like he seems like such a cartoon character. Like yes. his whole thing like is, you know, like the mustache, mm-hmm. and you know, like there's that picture, you know, in the same sense of like Einstein with his tongue out or Jim Morrison with his shirt off, you know, that kind of thing. Like those are like college dorm room pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can totally see him buying into that, and well, like him trying to light himself on fire. Fucking Richard Pryor did the exact same thing.
Right.
He just succeeded. Yeah. Like, yeah. And like Richard Pryor, 100% a genius. Like, I mean, I have like as my stance is he isn't a genius, and I think he is an amazingly hilarious person. I mean, I'm sure there are other people who disagree, but like it's weird to ADD is the worst. I hate it so much because I have so many poignant things to say. If anybody has medication they can give me, please give it to me because I need it.
Alcohol.
No, it's not the alcohol.
Oh, that makes it worse. That's right. That's right.
Alcohol. no, cartoon character. You become a cartoon character when you
start to get
you lose your reality,
disassociated from yourself. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's something to be said for like there is a certain point of mania and like and subsequent like mental illness that comes on from, you know, or mental health issues from becoming disassociated with yourself. And like, I mean, that whole idea of like losing yourself is so real for especially artists. It's like, how do I turn myself off and just be me behind closed doors with the people that I care about?
Well, especially when you're alone.
Right. And like, how do I sit with myself at the end of the day, knowing that I have just created this character who I have to be 90% of my life? Mm-hmm. And so I definitely have some sympathy on that front. I think that he had such an arrogance and a narcissism about him. I mean, the whole idea of like saying I am surrealism and saying that he's a genius and like calling himself the divine Dali. Yeah. And
is this before or after he got famous though?
I mean, this was before he was saying that. I mean, going into the surrealist movement, he was basically saying that he was like better than everybody and that he created this surrealist movement to a certain extent, that like his influence on Dada was the reason why these surrealists were able to do the things that they were doing. And he also, like, he would always talk against André Breton, which he was the quote-unquote the Pope of surrealism. And he had the ability to excommunicate people from the movement, which is what he did at the end of it. Because, I mean, the whole idea was that this was, like, a hugely leftist group for the amount of misogyny that came out of it is one thing, but they were largely leftist, many communists, and so was Dali initially. But he was also, I mean, he was brought up as an anarchist, but his father was pretty Catholic. He then, you know, really leans into this whole idea of like being in the leftist group. Halfway through, he suddenly is starting to align himself with fascists, especially Francisco Franco during the Spanish Civil War. And he was like becoming really good friends with him. I mean, he would go visit him in person and congratulate him on all the things that he was doing and congratulate him on killing prisoners. And so they finally said, like,
I mean, it takes a lot to kill someone. So good for him.
Yeah, like, congratulations.
No relation to James and Dave, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well.
But, I mean,
Disaster Artist is a good movie. That's all I'll say.
Well, there was this whole thing, too. The breaking point of him and the surrealists was that he basically said that anyone who was non-white, which was like, quote unquote, his wording, was should be put back in slavery because that would alleviate all the issues in the world.
Shit, so, wait, this was Dali?
This was Dali. Oh, yeah, this shit. this was the
You're
breaking
defending
point.
Him, Devin.
What a twist.
Right.
What a twist.
Game changer.
Who directed his life? M. Night Shyamalan?
I mean, Salvador is really close to sounding like slave owner, so.
He also
slave
sounds,
owner Dali?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he sounds a lot like Trump. Whatever works for him at the time, any political view that works for him at the time. And then he also would like denounce these things that he said, like, I didn't say these things, or that he wasn't aligning himself with fascists, even just though he was
lying,
like hanging out with Francisco Franco. And like,
well, I think if nothing else, he's like, it's not even so much that he's just a narcissist is what it sounds like.
Oh,
like,
totally.
And it's like, he just goes with whoever is like swaying his opinion and like whoever's giving him the most praise.
He's just feeding
in the
his
same
ego.
Way, like, yeah, in the
well,
same
who's
way, like
giving
Trump,
him the most money too.
Yeah. Well, true. And in the same way that Trump is doing it is like, whoever will put me on their ballot.
Right.
Sure. I'll go with it.
Absolutely.
And like, so I can see that. Like, I mean,
like,
in the same way Tim Burton does it too.
Sure, sure.
Tim Burton does it where it's like, yeah, I'll go with Disney. They're giving me money.
Right,
they'll let me make Alice in Wonderland, even though no one wants to see this fucking stupid shit piece of shit movie. Like,
it's,
sorry.
It's like, no wonder.
That movie hurt a lot.
No, I knew that movie was going to be bad.
I mean, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
So
bad.
I convinced myself I liked that.
Ugh. God, it was bad.
I hung on to Tim Burton way longer than I should have.
Yeah.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was one that I held on to.
I can't watch it.
No, it's
Big
it's
Fish is
so
good.
Bad.
It's
Big Fish is so good.
It's very. That's his last good movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Ed Wood is his best movie, though. Sorry,
but I will.
That's
say,
a controversial like, choice. I'm just. It's all,
like, it is a controversial choice.
Hot take.
But I will say this is that like I think that there's going to be this big backlash in a sense of like people saying, well, you know, you can still like somebody's art or you can like somebody's music or you can like what somebody's doing creatively without liking that person. Mm-hmm. But the problem with Dali is that his art was him and he was his art. I mean, he made himself into a piece of art.
He insisted as much at least.
Yes, he injected himself into everything. I mean, like he planted himself in every single project and put himself as the highlight of that project. It wasn't even necessarily about any subject. It was like at the end of the day, it all came back to him.
Well, there's like, there is kind of like this, even when I learned about him in, you know, high school or in art class or whatever, there was kind of this like, this is a Dali. Mm-hmm. You know, in the same way, like, this is a Picasso, or this is a, you know, and there's, like, this kind of, like, air of mystery about this guy who's just painting these melting clocks.
Right.
You know, and when you're 14, again, we're going back to this, you know, when you're 14 and it's, like, really new and interesting and cool, you're like, whoa, I totally agree with this. Time is totally an illusion construct, you know, like,
right. Whoa,
this is weird.
Yeah.
And then, you like, learn more about it and you listen to it more, and it's like, well, yeah, but that's all you have to say.
And it goes like, it goes back to his his art goes back to his childhood too, which is like fun. Like funny, a lot of us get introduced to him in our childhood, but it's like it is him. Like you're it's paintings of his like childhood landscape, like of Spain and coastal Spain,
mm-hmm.
And like. It is hard. There's something to an artist making their art truly from themselves that I think is kind of a ingredient to making great art in a sense, because it truly exposes what is in your head and what's in your thoughts and feelings. And
well, I think there's something to be, I mean, not to be that guy, but I think there's something to be said about what is true art. Like, I mean, like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. Like, true art in theory should never strive to be art, at least in my opinion. Like, it should be, this is just something I feel like I need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the perfect manifestation of it.
Well, and that would go in direct opposition to a lot of his work, especially toward the end of his life. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like in the early stages, absolutely. He was depicting, you know, his childhood and all of that. But toward the end, it was all just gimmicks. It was all just these gimmicky approaches.
Well, I didn't know he died in 1989. Yeah. I was born in 1989.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I thought in my mind, like Salvador Dali is like a guy who existed in the 1800s.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, that's why he influenced the pop art scene so much, and Warhol and him actually interacted.
Yeah, well, Warhol died around that time too.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. It's really weird to me.
It's like, it's weird to see those timelines because you think of,
I do love Sia.
Yeah. Well, yes.
And Andy Warhol hair. Sorry.
Yes.
Connection there. That's if you were curious and listeners, that's where my connection was.
I got it. Thank you. It was a really great transition.
Thank you.
Transition.
Transition. Back to what you were saying.
No, but I think that there's something to be said too, though, is that so his later work, at least his paintings, and a lot of surrealists dealt with this, was like that they were talking about their sexual issues and like mm-hmm. desires and fetishes and things like that. He talked a lot about his issues with masturbation, with like hidden sexuality and things like that. Like him and his wife literally very rarely had sex. He would masturbate in a mirror, even though he also was under the impression, like in these opposing ideas from Catholicism, that like this was going to lead to impotence and homosexuality and that you were sinning. But he also had like a secret gay lover. And so he just had, I think that there's something to be said to humanize him in a sense, that like he was dealing with a lot of issues. I mean, he lost his mom at, I think, 16. His dad and him became very estranged. Like there were a lot of things that led to kind of this disassociation, but at the same time, like
can humanize anybody.
Sure. Like, but right. But it doesn't make them not responsible for their actions and why ended up the way that they ended.
I don't even know anything about his home life. I don't know what his situation was there, but like, I mean, you say him masturbating in front of a mirror. I mean, you can associate that with being gay or, you know, whatever it is, or being attracted to men or whatever. Like he's a narcissist. He jacks off to himself.
Yeah, no, totally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like that's the literal
thing. Was he into occult shit at all?
He was.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that sounds like some occult shit.
Right.
Too.
Well, but it was also because he literally, like he could not, for whatever reason, have sex with somebody else, which could also lead back to narcissism 100%. But he also depicts a lot of this in his dreamscapes that he creates. And so I think like later on, he's becoming, you know, he's coming into his own as far as his work is concerned, but he's also becoming so much more disassociated with like who he is as a person in transition of all of that. Like,
well, it's a matter of getting lost in yourself and like,
right.
Yeah. I mean like, cause I mean like fucking, I mean, these are bad examples, but these are the people I admired when I was in high school, when I also liked Dali. So like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Like Marilyn Manson got 100%. He is entirely lost in his own bullshit, you know, and the occult and like this thing. It's like you get lost in this character of, you know, being Marilyn Manson or Salvador Dali, where it's like you influence these people. So obviously you have to listen to these people and like if Salvador Dali were to influence a satanic cult or an occult of some sort, and they're like, they worship him. He's like, well, yeah, I'm going to worship myself. Like, right. Why wouldn't I? Like,
yeah. If everybody else is too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all playing into his bullshit, especially the people who were benefiting off of it.
Of course.
You know, it was like, oh, absolutely. Like, stroke his ego as much as he strokes his own dick, because like, otherwise you're not going to make any money off of him when he dies.
Hey man,
like,
if I'm going to stroke my own dick, I might as well make some money.
I'm just saying.
Like, that's why I have a webcam now.
Make it into art. Anything can be art.
If you just say it's art, it's art.
It is.
Trust me. I know. I have made a lot of things that are very obviously not art.
I mean.
But I just say. Well,
not including this podcast.
Not even, that's not even this podcast.
51, you're over the hump.
Hump.
Hump. Got that? It's hump day art. Too.
Shit, it what is up? Wednesday.
No, it's Thursday. It comes out on Thursday, Devin. Come on.
I like my maintain the illusion. Lumpy.
We're professionals now. One year, we're professionals.
You just released the other podcast.
On accident. It was accidentally 4 hours early.
Do the hump, the hump. Come on. Do the hump, the hump.
I don't know the rest of the song.
It's a good song.
That was a really good backup.
That was my favorite part. That was actually my favorite part.
Mine too. Yeah.
Yeah. God. Every time.
Oh my God, ASMR is happening again. Please stop. I'm going to die.
So now... I'm eating ice cream.
No.
Listen to our
coffee.
Our Halloween snacks episode.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Sorry,
not.
Lisa. She's so mad. She doesn't listen anymore. I love you, Lisa, if you're still listening.
She listens in spirit.
Just like Michael Myers, except he's a real person, except not. He's the shape.
No, he is a real person. He played Trek.
Donkey.
Yes,
Donkey.
Anywho.
And Salvador Dali. Well. And 10 more minutes. So I think, Devin, do you have anything? Like, I know you haven't talked very much, but what is your like overall opinion on Dali? Like, what was your like childhood? Like, did you listen to
I mean,
did you listen to him in high school?
Did you watch Marilyn Manson?
Dali was one of my
favorite
bands.
What do you think about
bands?
Marilyn Manson?
My favorite album is Persistence of Memory. No,
it's a great opening song for The Leftovers.
That makes me think of the Pixies. I love that show.
The Pixies, you love that show.
The Leftovers.
We're getting
the Pixies is very heavily involved in that show.
What do they call that? Like synesthesia?
Yeah.
Seeing sounds.
Yeah.
NERD. No one ever really dies. Salvador Dali thought he would never really die. Boom. Ooh. Bringing it full circle.
I was just going to say synesthesia is also an AFI song, but sure. Okay.
Oh my God. We're really bringing it full circle. Oh, go on. Like, Dali never thought he would die.
Let's close this out with synesthesia. It's a good song.
That actually ties into what I was going to say. I was introduced to him as a kid, obviously, in art class. Obviously.
You're super cultured.
I'm so cultured.
I'm black, but I know art.
I knew about Dali in sixth grade.
I'm multi-talented.
And I was mystified by Persistence of Memory and a whole bunch of other works of his. I don't know if I saw The Great Masturbator then or not, but I should have. I was mystified by him, and I learned a little bit about him. I never I never pursued art after that. I should have, I think, because it's kind of how my brain works in a sense. But I always, like, from what I knew about him, I always related deeply to it. Like, the fact that he was so interested in physics and consciousness and stuff really related to me. And I think there was a genius to the way he thought about those things. I feel like as a genius, sometimes like art is like this playground that we're tempted by. Like, I mean, science and mathematics and stuff like that are kind of an art in a sense too. Like they have rules though.
Level of truth to them.
Yeah. And there's a level of truth, but like, I feel like as a genius, there's two paths you can go down. Is you can go down the path of, you can go by the rules and science math path, or you can go to art and kind of, I mean, there's logic and rules to that too. And
or you'd be cool and just not give a fuck and kick cans all the time.
There's obviously much importance to it. And like, I think I relate to that too, because I don't know. It's just, he has a very intriguing mind to me, and he's always been a personality that I've connected to. And like, it's the reason I like Kanye, like that ego. Just no, yeah. I feel like
we actually brought up Kanye while we were talking.
Earlier. It's like that same. He's kind of super. Like he calls himself a god. Like and like, I don't think I'm a god, but I feel like there's something to thinking that you are the best at all times. Like, I mean, I'm sure Kanye, I'm sure Dolly, and definitely myself have gone through and still like continually go through having a very fragile ego and being very hurt by a lot of things and taking things personally.
It's like a narcissist mentality though.
Oh yeah. Like, but I think your mind has to think a certain way to succeed, and you have to have persistence and confidence, and but it's definitely a fine line because you can cross it and eventually it can lead to a very sad life, which I think guys like Kanye and Dolly have been headed toward.
Oh yeah, Kanye's doomed for misery.
I mean, lately it seems like Kanye's been a pretty happy dude because he's just having kids and living he's life, but we'll see if that continues. Yeah. But
we'll talk about more about him on our Kanye episode whenever we find that person.
I can't wait to get to that.
If you want to talk about Kanye and you're not like someone who's just like, I don't like black people.
That's not going
to
work.
Email.
Although I'm ready. I'm ready to tackle that one.
Well, why didn't you
I think we should have a Kanye month. Actually, let's do that. Let's do a Kanye month.
An entire month?
We'll find four people who want to talk about Kanye in different ways.
We got to pick the right month.
I have somebody you can talk to about
what's
Kanye?
His birthday month. Really? We'll find his birthday month. Okay. We'll appease to his narcissism.
We'll make these discussions. We'll talk about this
off air.
Later time.
I think we're in final opinions, you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
gotten there.
So, Sarah, I mean, it's obviously a shot or a miss for you. it's a shot for you.
It's a shot for me.
But let's have you make your closing statements on Dolly real quick. And
I think that some of the things that have been said make me reconsider a little bit as far as like the fact that he, I don't know, there's something to be said for melding science and art together and capitalizing on that. There's also something to be said for the commercialization for that very reason for art, which I think is the biggest thing that artists are fighting against, is this whole like art as a commodity, which like is so frustrating to like essentially equate your success with commodification, which is I think the biggest reason why I take such issue with Dolly. It's not necessarily even his ego, which it is incredibly grating, but I think aside from that is this whole idea that like you are basically commodifying this entire movement when all of these people are creating this movement because like they have such belief in its basis. And I think like essentially bastardizing the whole art realm and taking from all of these artists without actually giving them any credit, which I think is also something that we see so often in today's society, is like not crediting the artists but using their work time and time again. So I think it's just like these problematic things that he brought to the table in such a huge way before it's really taken root in today's society. So at the end of the day, no, I think Dali's a piece of shit. And
he's a little butt boy.
For Senses of Memory, yes, I used to have that print on my wall, and I loved it. And then I learned about him, and I ripped it into pieces and set it on fire, much like he tried to set himself on fire. So,
oh, shit.
Here we are.
Symbolic.
Ooh, and then you burned down your dorm.
Whoops. Mommy.
Devin, what do you got? You got what'd you think, boy? Sorry, I didn't mean.
Oh, my
what'd
God.
You, what'd you think, okay. Friend?
Wow.
While we're transitioning into the people who hate black people.
Problematic.
Right. All right,
perfect. Ugh,
I've been dealing with this for a
hey,
whole year.
Hey, Devin,
now.
I like Richard Pryor, so, you know, give me a break.
Yeah, you like that he set
that
himself
piece of that
on fire.
Bar.
Well, like a burning cross, like a Dali, a burning Dali painting. Oh, shit, Sarah, hey. I just realized you're... Good thing you didn't burn a crucifixion.
Hey, what is what is this? One of my glasses? Because they're transitions.
Oh, okay.
Hey-o.
Zinger.
We did it.
No, I actually also reconsidered things because... I don't know. I've been wrestling with this for a long time about the Kanye thing. I've defended Kanye for so long through each step, and I can imagine being like a Dali fan back then and like hearing about some of this shit and being like, oh fuck, mm-hmm. What's going on with this dude?
Yeah.
Like, does
the
this
white
mean
t-shirt
like,
thing?
Does this mean like 30 years down the line, everybody's going to think Kanye is a genius and not just me?
I think people kind of do already.
People do.
Generally,
okay,
yeah. I think like
you're not the unpopular.
I think the general
opinion
is like,
thank you.
It's still like it's like 70-30. You know, like
yeah.
People still like him, but there's a lot of people who are just like, yeah, no, fuck him.
Yeah.
So
I agree with a lot of his ideals, and I feel like he kind of tipped the scale too far, and he went to the other edge, and ultimately failed in. Achieving, or think what he set out to do. I don't fucking know. Maybe he died and he did find his paradise. Who the fuck knows?
I hope he went back to the womb.
Yeah, and he was reborn as me. I am the reincarnation of Salvador Dali. I am a god.
Oh, are you gonna be in the new Assassin's Creed trailer?
Are we gonna call you the Divine Devin?
That's a new name
in
the podcast.
Yeah. I'm hoping
Please don't
so.
Start talking in the third person.
I named myself. I remember my
Devin
thoughts
back
when I was in the womb, and I told my mom what to name me before
yes.
I was born.
Yeah. All right. Alliteration. It's fun. Cool.
Daddy Devin.
Daddy Devin the Divine. Yes. Duh, Divine, I mean.
He is watching over a child now. So.
I am a role model, and I have to watch myself. So that is why...
I live a block away from a middle school, so I do need to watch what I say.
I think I'm the greatest, and hopefully so does the youngin. And I don't know. It's still a hit for me, but I reconsider, and I will hold him more accountable and defend him a little.
Accountability, is it?
Yeah,
is...
I'll hold him accountable a little okay. more. Exactly.
Thank you.
I'm glad we've reached this agreement.
So I was kind of the weird defender on Dali for a minute. He sucks. You know, that's kind of where I get at. Like, he's not as good as his podcast. So that's really all that matters. He is kind of like, I mean, the Tim Burton metaphor is kind of what I came to with this is like, he's really cool when you're in high school. He's really cool. And I mean, like, I guess maybe with Tim Burton too. Well, definitely with Tim Burton, maybe with Dali. When you're older and you realize things don't have to be just like one-to-one, there's some really good stuff here. You know, you got your Beetlejuice. You got your melting clocks. You got your whatever they are. Because I, you know, like there are good things, but in general, just like I don't know, he's super lame. Like that's kind of what I come down to on it. Like he's just like I look at these things and I'm just like, really? Like that's it? That's all you got? I don't know. I have ADD. What do I know?
He's like Damien Hirst. He is the forerunner for Damien Hirst, who puts shark in formaldehyde and calls it art.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I mean, it's cool to look at, but it's all about the shock factor. I mean, is it not? You know what I mean?
Science or art?
That's art. I know, right?
You mean the shark factor, right?
The shark factor.
I want to watch that show. Shark Factor.
ABC, we got a new show.
Hosted by...
Oh, what if we put one of the Shark Tank guys in formaldehyde every
hosted
week?
Hosted by Jaws Rogan.
That would kill him.
Jaws Rogan?
Yeah, Jaws Rogan.
Is he still really into, like, TM as well? Like...
He's
and like he's, UFC TM and UFC because those are two things that correlate.
He's Jaws Rogan. He has the head of a shark and he smokes weed and announces wrestling.
This sounds like a show also I really want to watch.
Milo,
right?
Yeah.
Shark was Factor.
Milo.
Oh.
Whatever that racist guy was.
Milo Yiannopoulos.
He gives him a chance. He's not giving him a shot. He's giving him a chance. Because fuck that guy. He's Jasmine, not associated with any of our names.
Jaws Mencia and his partner, Carlos Mencia. did I say Jaws Mencia? I meant Jaws Rogan.
Jaws Mencia.
Get it together. But I also want him to give him a shot. Because I want him to be like, I'm not going to throw away my shot. Like, I want him to just sing that the whole time while he's just like failing or whatever he does.
If it's Milo, I don't want him to sing anything.
That's real.
He's gay, but like, come on. Like, you can't accept that stereotype and then just like throw away the rest.
That's real.
So fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him and fuck Dali.
Yeah, okay. He's the Milo Yiannopoulos of art.
Oh my God. All right. Yeah, I mean, kind of.
No, I mean, you know what I'm thinking now? And this is maybe not be the best point, but...
Spit it out.
Is George going to say something racist? Let's find out.
Do not blame ADD for failing on what you're about to say.
Do not blame ADD on being racist.
I forgot black Darby people Crash were something.
From the Germs was really into David Bowie, but he also considered himself a Nazi. Right. Didn't make any goddamn sense. I love the Germs. I do not like Darby Crash.
I am unfamiliar
But he was also gay. And it's so, I mean... Who knows? Salvador Dali's sucks.
I mean, a lot of people hate themselves, so...
That's true.
That's just a real thing.
Darby Crash didn't have enough time to have, like, real introspection. He died the same day as John Lennon. R.I.P.
Ugh. We'll leave that for another podcast.
And now, the two-part episode. Part two, John Lennon.
Sorry, not going on my date anymore.
John Lennon, Barf City.
Featuring Sarah Pizza Bassa.
So, Ms. Peace Pasa.
Yes.
Do you have anything to plug? Other than
your plugs.
Plugs? Oh, shit. I don't know. No, just don't be a shitty human. That's all I gotta plug.
Plug humanity.
Don't you have a performance space or something? Or no, am I thinking of the wrong thing?
Not a performance space. Oh, if anybody wants to come, I mean, it's kind of a while out. May 5th. There is a big art exhibit going on in Slavic Village at the Magellan, and it's called Dot, 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 and it's a collaboration of musicians and visual artists, and we all collaborate and create these, like, installations and kind of whatever we want to do.
Nice.
And
cool.
I'll be doing some live performance pieces and things like that. So
awesome.
Come check it out.
Now,
May 5th.
I like pieces.
Now, what
Cinco
is
de Mayo.
It, what is it called? Because you just said it's called dot, 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 and then I was waiting for the answer.
It's called dot, dot, dot.
Oh,
and
shit.
What was it?
Dot, dot, dot.
It's very millennial. Very, very meta.
Okay.
It is very meta. Very meta. Yeah. So do that. Or don't.
May 5th.
Yeah.
Or don't.
Come.
Or March 5th. May 5th. May 5th.
Do not
May
wear
the 5th be with you.
Yes. And don't wear a sombrero.
Actually, the day
don't
after.
Don't wear a sombrero.
The day after Infinity War comes out. So you know when it is. You fucking weirdo nerds.
Yeah. Why didn't you just say Cinco de Mayo?
Why didn't
I
you say
did
that?
Say Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, you did?
But you were too fixated on dot, dot, dot being too meta for you.
You're
so.
Right.
Why didn't you just say the day after Infinity War comes out, you
oh,
fucking weirdo?
I'm sorry.
Infinity War comes out on Star Wars Day?
Wait, do you want to start
May
over? 4th. Just scrap this and then we'll
Pretty
start
sure.
over.
They have cornered the market on the first weekend.
Yeah,
Devin, you got anything?
I mean, do I have anything? I am reinvigorated on my comic book Spectrum.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been working on it intently. I And
yeah, message Devin if you want to be like a if you know how to draw and just
if you're fucking, not a drawn shit and want to.
I mean,
like,
I'll draw cool stick comic figures book. And call it Spectrum. I kind of want to hear, like, I kind of want to read a comic book that's like really good writing with really awful art.
Just
like,
read The Walking Dead.
Fair
Shots
point.
Fired.
No, but okay, I could just watch The Walking Dead and just watch okay cinematography with really terrible writing.
Yeah.
Or I can just read pretty much anything. I thought I had his name for a second. I don't. The guy who created Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Put it on the map.
Yeah. The Salvador Dali of Deadpool.
I do really like the movie of Deadpool. Read anything he did. Okay. Read anything Ryan Reynolds did. Ryan Reynolds.
Pizza pasta.
Pizza pasta.
Batista.
You know, if you want to talk to us, email us at secondshotpod@gmail.com or call us at 216-309-0942. I didn't remember that.
216-309-3402. Was that the right number?
That's exactly, probably sort of true. I got to pee real bad. So let's get out of here. Sarah, Miss Pizza Pasta, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. No, thank you.
Thank you.
No.
You don't get appreciated
enough.
Thank
me.
Thank me.
Okay.
Thank George, thank Sarah for thanking me.
I'll thank myself. I'm okay with that. I like thanking myself.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy.
Fuck you, pay me.
Ooh, I do like fuck you, pay me. Go listen to Fuck You, Pay Me if you haven't heard them. They're a local band. They're pretty good.
Pasta la vista, baby.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Great
answer. Oh my god.
Oh shit. You better get there.
We're listening to AFI's Synesthesia.
I thought this was called Vote or Die.
Is that how you're going to talk?
Yeah, just like this.
NPR?
It's going to be great. Welcome to A1. 1A. Not A1.
I love
that
sauce.
We are not a steak sauce.
Great sauce.
We are not a sauce.